Chapter 9, Four Deadly Questions. If there existed only one man or woman who did not love the Savior, and if that person lived among the wilds of Siberia, and if it were necessary that all the millions of believers on the face of the earth should journey there, and every one of them plead with him to come to Jesus before he could be converted, it would be well worth all the zeal, labor, and expense. If we had to preach to thousands year after year and never rescued but one soul, that one soul would be full reward for all our labor, for a soul is of countless price. Charles Spurgeon. When witnessing to someone, it's very important to ask the person questions. Christians often make the mistake of rushing into their presentation of the gospel when they haven't really talked with the person yet. Finding out what they believe and why they believe it is essential in a good witnessing situation. Keep in mind that you don't have to do all the proving in a conversation. Ask non-believers to prove their positions on eternity and God. At the Summit Ministries Christian Leadership Camps, where I speak, we teach the students something called the Four Deadly Questions. These questions are fantastic. Although they are very simple, they're also very thought-provoking. The questions are designed to help people realize that they cannot defend their positions. Then we can come behind and defend our position in love. Make sure that you don't use these questions as a weapon. They can make people look foolish, which will certainly not make them receptive to your message. They are intended only as aids to help you gain more information, not to inflict harm. At Summit, we suggest that students use them with their professors in college classrooms. When these questions are asked in a gentle, loving way, they prove to be very effective in helping students make their point. So let's take a look at these four deadly questions. Number one, what do you mean by that? With this question, you can prompt people to define words they are using. The more information you have about an individual's views, the better you can direct the conversation. Many times a person will tell me that he is a Christian, so I ask, what do you mean by Christian? Numerous people answer the question by stating that they go to church. By the way, does going to church make you a Christian? Of course it doesn't. Does going into the garage make you a car? Does going into a McDonald's make you a hamburger? Going to church is something a Christian should do, but it doesn't make someone a Christian. I was talking with a young man at Georgia Tech one day who told me that he was a Christian. I asked what he meant by Christian, and he answered, "I am bought and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ." I said, "Okay, easy, young man. He certainly knows what he believes, as all of us should." When someone tells me he's into the New Age movement, I ask, "What do you mean by New Age?" The New Age can encompass all kinds of things, from reincarnation to crystals to Wicca, etc. So this question will help identify what the person means by that term. If someone says he is agnostic, ask, what do you mean by agnostic? Some people mean atheist but say agnostic, and vice versa. An atheist is someone who denies there is a God. An agnostic doesn't rule out the possibility of God but believes God's existence is unknowable. Find out what the person believes it means, then you can direct the conversation accordingly. Number two, how do you know that to be true? When an individual is explaining his views, one of the most beneficial questions you can ask is how he knows that a statement he made is true. What evidence does he have to back up his position? One person told me that there were 18 authors of the book of Matthew. I asked him, how do you know that to be true? Did he have any evidence to back up his position? Absolutely none. Of course, Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, but some very liberal religion professors are teaching untruths about the authorship of the Bible. When people say they are 100% assured if they die today they would go to heaven, ask, how do you know that to be true? You will get some interesting answers from Jesus to being a good person. And if they mention being a good person, you know what to say from there. Just go straight to the Ten Commandments. One person I spoke with claimed that Jesus did not rise from the dead. I asked him how he knew that to be true. He didn't have a single bit of evidence to back up his statement. He wasn't aware of all the evidence I shared with him that conclusively proves Jesus did rise from the dead. When the topic of evolution comes up, people will often comment on the age of the earth, which they believe to be billions of years. Ask them how they know that to be true. You will find that they have no actual evidence to back up that position. A friend of mine who travels the country to speak about creation versus evolution shows in his presentations that most dating methods reveal a very young earth. Evolutionists, however, just choose the dating methods that support their position, which is not good science. Asking this question helps people dig deeper for the truth. One day in a mall, I noticed three college-age guys sitting at a table in the food court. When I walked over, I pulled up a chair and sat down with them. They looked at me like I was crazy, so I asked, "You've never had a total stranger sit down with you in the mall before?" "No." "Well, this is your first time." They said, "Okay," and began to talk with me. During the conversation, one of the guys asked, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" "Yes, I am," I replied. He asked, "You believe the Bible's true, don't you?" "Yes, I do." You can't believe that book is true. There is no way that book is true, he said. It was written down by King James in 1611. It can't be true. Notice that he said the Bible was written in 1611. Is that true? It's not even close to a true statement. King James had the Bible translated from Hebrew and Greek into King's English at that time. The Bible wasn't written then. So I asked, are you sure you want to say that? I then gave the evidence showing that what they believed was not based in truth. In return, they gave me instant respect and listened to everything else I said during the conversation. Question number 3, where do you get your information? This question identifies the information source for what the person believes. Many times you'll find there isn't one. The person is basing his eternal future on something he hasn't fully investigated. One guy told me that he believed in reincarnation, so I asked, where do you get your information on reincarnation? He replied, I believe in my heart that it's true. Have you ever believed something in your heart that was wrong before? Most definitely, he responded. Could you be wrong on reincarnation? Oh, I could definitely be wrong, he said. Within 30 seconds, he went from believing in reincarnation to admitting he could be wrong. When people say they are good enough to go to heaven, ask them where they get their information. Many people claim that they find it in the Bible. When they do, just ask them where in the Bible they find that information. And of course, they will not be able to tell you. Go through the Ten Commandments with them to show what the Bible really says about God's standard of goodness. Question number 4. What if you're wrong? On one of my many flights, I had an open seat next to me, but a man was sitting in the next seat over. I was busy writing a talk, but I would occasionally glance over to see what he was doing. He was taking notes from an article he was reading titled, Spirituality in the Neighborhood. I was curious what that was about. There were pictures of Buddhist statues throughout the article. I knew that when we got around to talking, it would be very interesting. He took a nap, but after he woke up, we got into a conversation. He told me that he was a Unitarian Universalist minister, and that in his congregation were Jews, Christians, Buddhists, atheists, etc. He has a little bit of everything in his church. When I asked him, when you die, what do you think is on the other side? He replied, I really don't know. He must be a great shepherd of his flock if he doesn't even know this answer. He said he was hoping in reincarnation, but that people could believe anything they wanted. His church was into social justice by doing good things for others, so they thought that whatever happens on the other side, it will be okay. I challenged him with this question. Is it possible that a person could believe something is on the other side after death, but when he dies, he finds out that what he thought was going to be there was actually not there? He answered, of course. You are right, I said. If someone believes there is nothing when he dies, and there is something, then he is 100% wrong. But you cannot have a wrong answer unless there is a what? He looked at me and gulped. He knew I had him. He replied, a right answer. Exactly. There has to be a right answer for eternity, and you just said so. That means there is eternal truth. That being the case, then the people in your congregation have wrong answers for eternity. What are you going to do about it? With a not-so-friendly look on his face, he said, I really don't like the terminology that we are using right now. That was no surprise. He had just been forced to admit that there were right and wrong answers, yet he doesn't want to believe in right or wrong. This is a great argument to use with people. Either there is something when we die or there is nothing. We can't all be right when it comes to our opinions on eternity. If there can be a wrong answer for eternity, then there has to be a right one, and we must let people know what that right answer is. This is also a great question to ask at the end of a conversation to get someone to think about the eternal consequences of his decisions. But be prepared. You can expect the person to send this question right back in your direction. How would you answer if someone asked you if you were wrong and this whole Jesus thing wasn't true? Have you ever thought about that? You see that everyone can't be right here. For example, Muslims do not believe that Jesus died on the cross, let alone rose from the dead, whereas Christ's death and resurrection are the whole basis for Christianity. We cannot all be right. What if we are wrong? Many Christians would answer the question by saying that they would just die and go to their grave if it wasn't true, so they have nothing to lose. But that cannot be the whole answer to the question. One guy told me, you have believed in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. At least I had fun in my life partying, and then we both go to the grave. He had a valid point. If this whole Jesus thing isn't true, we have literally wasted our lives. We have prayed to someone who doesn't exist. We have given people hope for eternity that isn't there. Paul said, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 and 19. We should be the most pitied of all people if Jesus gives us hope only in this life and not into eternity. Our faith is literally in vain if Jesus did not rise from the dead. I answer this question by telling people that first, I have believed in the only faith that has evidence to back it up. When you study other religions, you definitely find this to be true. Second, my life has been changed by believing in Jesus Christ. I've been on both sides of the fence, living in sin and serving Jesus. I will take this life over the other life anytime. And third, if my belief was wrong, I would die and go to my grave, and that's all there is. Now turn the question right back on them. After giving my answer, I ask people, if you are wrong, you are literally choosing hell for all of eternity. Are you sure you want to do that? Of course, the answer is always no. We need to get people to think about the eternal consequences of their earthly actions and decisions. The New Testament talks twice as much about hell as it does about heaven. So we don't need to be afraid to talk about hell with people. As a matter of fact, the loving thing to do is to make sure that no friends of yours and no strangers you encounter will go to hell when they die. And you can see how valuable these four deadly questions are. Use them often as you share your faith.